AK Podcasting Softly, I have a returning guest this morning with an incredible story. Part of her story we've already conveyed in our former interview, but she's back. Our Robo fan returns. Ava Rahano, welcome back to Podcasting Them Softly.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for inviting me again.
It's tremendous. Before we get into the meat of this thing, let's talk about a few current events. RoboCop, the movie, or the new movie, took a nosedive with Neil dropping out of the project and going off to make another film. And Abe Forsyth, the wonderful comedic Australian actor, either, because I know him predominantly as an actor. I confess I haven't seen all of the stuff that he's directed. So I remember him from a couple of TV shows. So that's an interesting choice to direct RoboCop. But as you and I both know, films like these and franchises like these are rarely handled today, especially with a unique vision. Usually they're a film made by a committee, don't you think?
Well, yeah, the thing is, and I was discussing this with my brother, who's also a longtime RoboCop fan. I believe, in all honesty, that it's a bit late to erase the sequel, and I see that this production has been having problems ever since it started, and it was Edward Neumeier, the one that announced it, you remember well, at the Barbados International Film Festival 2018. Mm. And from that point on, I mean, they have been changing writers and directors. And I was asking you, this new director is Australian, so
yes.
What were your thoughts about it? Neil Blomkamp, unfortunately, made lots of empty promises to the fans. And yeah. You remember that you had Nancy Allen in your show, because we're still pushing for her to be part of the movie. But then Neil did not acknowledge Ed or Michael Miner or even Nancy. He was, like, focused on Paul Verhoeven and Peter Weller. And now we have this new director, and I'm anticipating that the fans will run to him again on Twitter or social media, whatever, and ask him, what is this movie going to be about? And then remember that Ed said very recently that MGM wants to do a cheap movie that is rated R. So even if we have lots of expectations, we really want to think if the movie is not going to be like, or going to fall into the same hole that Terminator Dark Fate did, because, you know, James Cameron thought that he could kind of like restart the story, and you know what happened.
Yes. Do you think with the success of these series now, like Star Wars has finally come to television, or streaming in a sense, do you think that could benefit RoboCop better than a film?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because on Ed Neumeier's last podcast, he went to the guys from the movie Crypt, I think. He jokes at the very end of his interview, and he says that perhaps it would be better to make a TV series about Big Z Snyder, It's Not My Problem. That was originally the name of it. All By That for a Dollar, that's the way everybody knows it. But if you see the deleted scenes from RoboCop, actually the show had a name, It's Not My Problem. And he jokes about it, you know, let's make TV series. I don't know how serious he was, but, you know, you've seen The Mandalorian. I mean, it feels more like Star Wars than Star Wars itself, the film series. So I think they're pushing RoboCop to its limits, in my personal opinion.
Right. Because I think that they're more tempted to go to series now, because the risk related with these big movies, Terminator and Charlie's Angels, probably good examples, is that it doesn't...
I didn't even know when it came out, the Charlie's Angels one. It really came out?
Yeah.
Nobody saw that.
Exactly. I didn't even know they were remaking it till it was kind of upon us. And I like to think I keep up with movie news pretty well, but this one was a big surprise. But I probably won't go and feed the machine even though I admit I'm curious. you know, when a film bombs pretty bad, I actually want to see it more, if that makes sense, because I'm curious as to what everyone thought was so bad. Because I have this weird thing about me that I tend to dislike films that the mass majority believe are wonderful films. And that's not because I want to be different. It's just that I don't see what they see. I don't see the hype. You know?
But that's because you have the mind of a writer. Yeah. And you want to see how far they're pushing the limits. And I'm the same way. But when it comes to RoboCop, it's something that is so closely related to my heart. It's like, I don't want to see.
No.
With any other franchise, I go like, yeah, I want to see how far they took this. But when it's RoboCop, it's like either they do something good or they don't do anything at all. I mean, it's like when you're in love with someone, you don't want to see this person embarrassing themselves. And that's something that when I was watching Dark Fate, Terminator, that is how it felt for me. You know, Linda Hamilton, Arnold. It felt like they were friends of mine and they were embarrassing themselves and I couldn't help them. It was quite shameful. It's quite weird to feel that way. But if you think that we're fans, I grew up watching them, and then I go like, wow, what if that happens to RoboCop as well?
Yeah. I was always afraid the longer time went on with RoboCop for another movie because I thought that if you're going to do a story where essentially the RoboCop that we knew and love is retired and makes way for another RoboCop, not like the remake that they did, what was it, circa 2014, but more like the retiring or the let's say Peter Weller's character, Murphy, becomes obsolete, and he is surpassed by new technology, and perhaps, you know, he has to fight this new technology, very similar to what he did in like RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 3, but it'd be more of a finality, it'd be more of like a Terminator 2 type thing where he would fight till the end and then would die. I always thought would be a better way of doing it because I think that the longer you keep something going, there's always the propensity for it to get old, both in a literal and a metaphorical sense.
Well, that's an interesting idea, but I wouldn't call it RoboCop. I think that the remake, well, for me, it's a blasphemy.
Right.
And I have always told Ed that one of the things that I really disliked about it was the disrespectful way they treated Lewis. And he recently said that on that interview that they split Lewis into the wife of Murphy and that guy, Jack Lewis. And
yeah,
both of them combined, they didn't have the charisma or the enchantment that Nancy Allen had as Anne Lewis. Plus, she's a female action character I grew up looking at up to. I think that TV series giving the fans what they want, because the problem with MGM, the way I see it,
yeah,
is that they want to appeal to new audiences.
Yeah.
And they are undermining us, the old kids that grew up watching the movies, because they say, well, the kids that grew up watching RoboCop, they're getting old. They're over 30, over 40 now, so we need new audiences.
Yeah.
So they make the remake, and the remake didn't appeal to new audiences because they didn't care about it, and they offended the long-time hardcore RoboCop fans. That was the recipe for disaster. And right now, I just think TV series, not Big Z, neither. know, even if I'm a hardcore RoboCop fan, I'm not really a fan of All By That for a Dollar. I don't know why they keep asking that to Ed in all his interviews. But, you know, TV series in which RoboCop, Ann Lewis, Sergeant Reed, Ed 209, and all of them live adventures in Detroit. And that is probably something that we would enjoy, but they're risking too much and erasing, for example, Kane, which is a creation of Phil Tippett.
Yes.
It's part of the RoboCop mythology now. You cannot erase the work other people did, and then this great dynamic that Peter Weller and Nancy Allen had, and even Robert Burke. One of the things that I like about Nancy is that she was professional enough to play Lewis for a third last time for the fans. And even though she was hired for 2 weeks and she told me that, you know, she didn't feel part of the production, she still, I mean, treats Robert as if he was Peter. I mean, you see no difference in her performance. For her, Murphy is Murphy.
Right.
So I think many years have passed by. Now, consider the fact that it is Justin Rhodes, the same guy that co-wrote Terminator Dark Fate, the one that is writing or rewriting Edward and Michael Miner's script that was initially sent to MGM, the first draft, but eventually was rejected because it was overly ambitious. I'm writing an article about it, actually.
Yes, it's a difficult thing. Like, they talk about fan service a lot today in movies. And sometimes it's done really well, and sometimes it's done not so well. Because their biggest dilemma is they're trying to make films for everyone. And I don't think you can effectively do that with particularly something that began its popularity so long ago now. Because they always seem to feel the need to fill the modern audience in with what they've missed. And I think that they need to trust their audience more and trust that their audience is smart enough to pick up the story. And of course, there is such a plethora of robo entertainment out there, films, animated shows, the television show. They can go and catch up. I mean, you don't have to spell it out in the space of a movie, this entire mythology. You just need to celebrate it and tell a really good RoboCop story, right?
Yeah, that's the... We are simpler than they think. and that's the sad thing. But they don't want us, the old fans. They want the new audiences. But the new audiences are into Star Wars. Star Wars is probably one of the franchises that can... You know, like all generations all together, but not all franchises can do that. You know, and this Terminator should prove that to us.
Eva, you're a very passionate lady, and you have a very interesting story that you told me a little bit about before we spoke. So, would you like to tell in the theme of reviewing books this? This month seems to be my book month. I haven't reviewed a lot of films. I've been reviewing a lot of books that actors and editors and directors have put together. You two are writing a book, but the story behind the book is just as interesting. Would you like to tell the audience what you've been up to since we spoke to you last?
Well, here's when... I've made the decision to divorce RoboCop a bit, and Ednie Meyer might say to me, or even Nancy Allen, that I am way too hooked on RoboCop. But I've said to both of them that it comes a time in which a consumer, in which a client, in which a fan wants to become a producer. A couple of years ago, I was in England. With my ex. I was not in a romantic mode with him. It was just friends. And I attended this life coaching course. And one of the things that one of the teachers there said struck me deeply. And this man said that we take the wheel of our lives, the time or the moment we decide to become producers and not consumers. because it's very easy to sit down and start, you know, like we were doing, like reviewing films and criticizing and saying, I could have done this better. Well, I have the idea for a comic book. I have always had the idea of this character in my mind, or I could direct that movie better.
Yes.
But then you go back to your life and you really don't do anything.
Yes.
And, well, I must say that I have always wanted to be a storyteller. I'm an illustrator, as you probably know, graphic designer, university teacher.
Yes.
But I have always had the itch to write, but I was afraid to say it out loud. I felt it was a corny thing, and people weren't going to say, like, really, you want to be a writer? You know? And I was happy with people liking my drawings and my illustrations, and I thought that was as far as I could go, or I kept forcing myself to become a comic book artist, sorry, and then I kept thinking, I'm not that good as a sequential artist, that's why they don't hire me, and that's why I cannot tell my stories.
Right, right.
But it was until I started writing, I had the inspiration, I remember I told you about RoboCop Enhanced Reality.
Three years
ago, I started with that fan fiction project, and for the fans, because it came a time where I thought it was time to save Ann Lewis. You know, it was a time for me to play with the sequels and give the fans an alternate story, a story that will remain unlicensed and unofficial for the fans. And here's where the interesting thing happened. Edward Neumeier, well, I've said that in a few interviews, showed interest to do what I was doing.
Yes.
To know what I was doing.
Yes.
Lewis Completely, which is a fictional character that I have been studying the most in my life. And, well, a series of complications happened on his side. And then, you know, that he was commissioned by MGM to write a new RoboCop movie. Although he read a few pages, a couple of chapters, and it was flattering, though, because he said that I could inhabit Ann Lewis completely, which was a great compliment. You know, Ann Lewis is a fictional character that I have been studying the most in my life. Then a series of complications happened on his side, personally, I assume. And then, well, MGM commissioned him and Michael Miner to write a new RoboCop movie. So I think all those things merged together, and that's why, well, the story was released for the fans. Nancy Allen, let me show off a little bit. She said to me once after reading also a few pages and watching an interview that I went to in TV, local TV here in my hometown, she said, the producers of RoboCop 3 should have spoken to you before making the movie. And that was like almost made me want to start crying because, you know, Nancy Allen was the one that said that to me. And when RoboCop 3 came out, I was probably 14 or 15 that I promised to Anne that I was going to rescue her one day.
Right,
but
right.
Here comes the interesting thing, Kent, what we were talking about. For a while, you know, I thought I was very lucky to have the chance to get to know Edward Neumeier. You know, all the love that I feel for his fictional characters, I think, transcended to the real man that was behind them. And I've met people that fall in love with fictional characters, and I feel sorry for them because they're never going to meet them.
Yeah.
You know, and having always well conscious that those characters are fictional, and I have played with them as if they were mine, but they're not really mine. But, you know, getting to know the people that are behind them has been probably one of the most interesting things that have happened to me in my adult life. I never thought I was going to get this immersed in the RoboCop world this way.
Right.
So, I did all kinds of things to catch his attention. I won't get into details here with you.
Right.
But one of the things that I did was trying to prove to him that I could do more than just RoboCop, using my talent, my skills as a writer, storyteller, and as an illustrator.
Right.
So for a while, I kept elaborating some stories for him in which he would see that I was capable of developing my own characters. The first one, it was, I adapted a story that I had when I was younger. It was a robot girl that learned pretty much like Bicentennial Man, you know, Bicentennial Man. She learns and she gets to fall in love with a human being.
Yes.
But that was an idea I had. Bicentennial, that's the way you pronounce it. That's an idea that I had when I was at uni, and I kept drawing this robotic woman and the scientist that had no name. So when I met Ed, you know, all my love made him, this character of mine resemble him. So the story was, I love you because you created me, and that was like a Christmas present for him, showing him a bit of those illustrations and you know, a bit of the story, but it was just a fragment of the story because developing that as it is sci-fi would probably take years.
Right.
So his response was this documentary of Werner Herzog, you know, now that he's in The Mandalorian, Ed should be there too.
Yes.
You know, it was a documentary that talks about, you know, the way we relate to machines.
Yes.
So later after that, I started writing. I dared to do more or get more personal, and I started writing a few stories for him in which it was directly him and I.
And, right.
That was creatively stimulating. I mean, it was very motivating to imagine him and I in different universes, multiverses.
Yeah.
And we were living these kind of interesting adventures, but I never thought that was some of those stories, or I never thought that I was going to take seriously any of them. So, do I tell you what the stories were about? Do you
want
to know?
If you want to, sure. Or pick one in particular.
Well, one in particular was, I think it, all of them ended, you know, the one of the robots, no. But this was the ones that came after ended with the word fantasy. And so that's as much as my imagination went to. And one of them was the film studio fantasy, and it took, the story took place in the 80s. So I said to Ed, I'm going to add 10 years to my real age back then, so you don't have the mental image that I was 8 when you were developing RoboCop. No. So in reality, I'm 18, you're 29, and you're developing this interesting project. It is the 80s, and then I go, I meet you, and you're this playboy Hollywood writer that gets involved with a fan.
Right.
And then at the very end, I was uploading chapters for him, so he would come every day and read them. So that was like pretty wonderful for me.
Yes.
Like, wow, I have his attention, and you know, I'm amusing him with my crazy ideas. And I chose a song for the end credits of that story, Modern Talking, You're My Heart, You're My Soul. I used to choose even, you know, the song for each story.
Right.
So from those two stories, there was one that I created after he went to the Barbados International Film Festival, and I saw his pictures, and oh my God, I thought he looked so classy, so handsome, and I said to him, you know what, I imagine a story around us, you know, in Barbados, and this a very festive environment, you know, the heat and the beach and everything.
Right.
And so I created the Barbados fantasy, again, with fantasy, and initially it was a story about this important businessman, but it was him, and I was this, okay, don't laugh, I was this elegant, high-level scorp.
Why would I laugh at that? You're a very elegant lady. Why would I laugh at that?
Oh, thank you. Well, it was me under many makeovers, and I think it was the cinematographic versions of Ed and I when we get to me.
Right.
I think this character had a lot of Liz Blake, which is my second favorite character ever played by Nancy after Anne Lewis. So I sit down at his table, and we have this interesting conversation. He knows what I am,
yeah.
And still, he decides to embark in the adventure.
Yeah.
So again, you know, just like the other one, the film studios, the 80s story, I put those chapters for him to consume and be interested. Because for a while I kept telling him, you know, this is my time to amuse you. This is my time or my way to give back to you for all the years of entertainment you've given me. Plus, I was exercising my original characters, my original ideas, and I didn't know about it. You know, I did this out of the tremendous love I feel for him, but I was unaware that this was like a small writing school. And the one thing Ed, I don't know if he doesn't care about, he simply has allowed me or has given me free license, free artistic license to write what I want. Or perhaps he says, oh, she's so full of mistakes. It would take me forever to help her edit her story. So he probably took them for what they were, you know, tributes to showcase my love and admiration for him.
Yes.
But the Barbados fantasy kept coming back to me.
Right.
The same way enhanced reality came to me in a dream, and I built a story around the moment in which Lewis is with RoboCop in the patrol car, and I told this a few times already publicly. The initial talk that Matt and Anna, the main characters of my story, have when they meet at this table kept coming back to me.
Right.
And I remember I was with a few friends at this restaurant, and it was almost like I could see them talking, and the conversation became more and more complex inside my head. So I told Edward, you know, Ed, I'm going to turn it into a formal novel.
Right.
I think, and I assume, he didn't believe me.
Right.
Or probably thought, yeah, okay, you can do whatever you want. I'm quite busy with my Hollywood life or whatever. So I started writing it. So I removed the Barbados element because I had never been there. It was okay for a small sexy tale, whatever.
Right.
But not for a formal novel. So I took the story to Los Angeles and I started developing it. And the name of the novel, you know, my robo baby.
Yes.
I'm very pregnant with this project now. it's called The Black Butterfly.
Yes, The Black Butterfly. That sounds a really intriguing story. I thought you were going to go another way. I thought you were going to go a Star Is Born kind of way. You know.
What do you mean?
Where, like, you know, you're the young girl, and he's the melancholic Hollywood veteran. And he's trying to finish this great opus about, you know, some sort of, you know, the meeting between technology and man and their relationship to machines. And you're like his muse, but you're also his motivator. And you basically help him create this thing that, you know, in our universe, you would call it RoboCop, but in a multiverse, it might be called something else.
And that's an interesting story about that. Because for some reason, my inspiration didn't come from sci-fi anymore. It was just him as a person.
Right.
Because my story has nothing to do with sci-fi. The first one, the robotic girl with the scientist, yes. But that was a story that I had, you know, from way back.
Right.
And I think I'm kind of like proving to myself that I'm capable of writing a story that has nothing to do with sci-fi, and to prove to him that I can do something that is not that RoboCop related. What you're saying, well, would make more sense. Right?
Yeah.
You know, I come to this man, in fact, you know, he has this personality or this image of what we could say an intellectual man that could be turned into science, a scientist, as you said. I mean,
yeah.
Someone that is developing machines, robots, and then I could go and be his whatever helper and stuff. But, you know, the premise of my story, and this is something that I learned from him as well.
Yes.
The premise of my story is that life is made of seconds and third chances.
Yes.
Because my characters aren't conventionally young, or it's not the same love story we see everywhere in which two young people that have no past or emotional baggage, they get to meet and they live complications, the bad guys, and they live happily ever after. Right here, this is a former high-level Court that owns her nightclub, and she's 40 years old. And this is an accountant that works for a marketing company, and he's 55. And
right.
he's divorced twice. He has a grown daughter.
Right.
And nevertheless, they get to meet at a point in their lives in which they can still, you know, live this wonderful thing. But then what I like to get into is the depth of the human mind and the human and human emotions, and that's something that I really like about RoboCop.
Yes.
And I don't know how much Ed thinks that I'm too hooked or obsessed with his story, but I see it beyond the police cyber guy that takes out the pistol and starts shooting the bad guy. We all like that, you know,
sure,
the sci-fi
sure.
element, the action.
Yes.
But then going to the depth of someone that was turning to a machine, and then the woman that is next to him that has suffered all that process with him. So I guess my novel focuses more on emotions and, you know, the human misery, how far we can go or how low we can reach, you know, when we have states of depression, anxiety, heartbreak. And I have been living that in real life, the real soap opera of my life, and I have been imprinting all that pain in my novel.
Mm.
Now, the one thing that I'm a bit disappointed or sad about, I'm not mad at Ed. You should know that I'm not mad at him. He knows why. But, you know, he went to two recent podcasts, and he spoke about things that happened 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. And we love those stories. I mean, you and I love him, and all the fans, the RoboCop fans, the Star Trek Troopers fans, love that of him telling the same stories about Blade Runner, Star Wars, about him growing up and becoming an executive for film studios. But then I go like, there are people that were initially inspired by him that now have jumped the fence of being just fans and admirers, and they're becoming producers. They're becoming people that are creating things around probably RoboCop, him, or the people that were involved in RoboCop, that can bring good things, rewards, or publicity their way. So I have been sitting down for him, waiting for him to say something about the book, you know, and he hasn't. Then we have the RoboDoc. We have Christopher Griffith, and you will have him in your show, I don't know.
I very much hope to talk to Christopher about his most, well, I mean, it stands at this point to be the most comprehensive document of the RoboCop phenomenon as it exists. So, you know, I'm hoping once Chris has a locked version for a screener, which he'll then of course then put out for reviews and whatever, because that's just the way of things. But it stands to be the monumental document on the RoboCop phenomenon. So yeah, I'm very, very much looking forward to talking with Chris when he's ready.
And he's awesome, and he's someone that started as a fan like me, like many other people, you know, that grew up looking up to all the RoboCop celebrities, and now look at how big what he's doing is so important. He's a RoboStar. I said that to him recently. You've become a RoboCop celebrity as well.
Mm.
So it's like, well, Edward, you know, I raise my hand. I'm right here. I think the RoboCop is, the RoboDoc is here, and many other people that admire you and love you deeply are doing things that I believe that can make him look at the future. I'm not saying he wouldn't stop working on RoboCop Returns or whatever projects he has at the moment, but it would be nice if he turned back his head and he saw that, you know, it was thanks to his inspiration that we're creating those things now. So the message I have for him is, you know, am I going to be the single mom of my robot kid?
Right, right.
Going his Is he going to acknowledge it on the cyber Robolove we made online? Had this beautiful consequence. I'm very proud of what I'm doing. Even Nancy only has a character in the book. Even his daughter has a character in the book.
Look, this whole story, Ava, sounds absolutely incredible. The story behind the book, as well as the book itself. I think that we all run the risk when we are inspired by something that we often have our hopes dashed from time to time in the ascent towards the Mount Olympus that we're trying to reach, and that is ultimately create something that not only is enhanced by what we love, but enhances our love itself. I think that you are the embodiment of someone who has followed their passions and followed their heart through most of their life. And I have to say, I wish you nothing but the best with this book, and I hope that it gets out there, and I hope that, it is not I hope that it is not an orphan.
Well, the thing is, the one thing is that I have been giving interviews about the book even before it's released. And the one thing that I keep telling everyone is that I want people to buy the book. It's going to be an ebook and probably a cheap price. But, you know, as this project is licensed, it's going to be licensed. I already have an attorney working on it. You know, I want to, as this project, you know, is going to be licensed, I want to say to people that I want them to buy it because I'm a good storyteller, not because it's wrapped up into controversy or whatever. And this is why I'm being very honest about the way it was born, yeah, or it will be born, as I said. So, again, I'm sending out a friendly message to Edward Neumeier. He knows that he was the initial motivation for it, my character, Matt. And although it was initially based upon him, Anna Sirena, which is me, and then we have Sargent Colling, which is Nancy Allen, Darlene, which is his daughter, loosely based on his daughter. I think that my characters have been developing personalities of their own, and I can say that even though I started with real people, you know, they are characters of mine that walk on their own, and that, as I said, I'm open for him to come to a friendly agreement on me putting him on the acknowledgement page the same way I'm going to do it with Nancy Allen, because you know, although he hasn't wanted to directly, you know, edit it or influence it or correct it or whatever, I think that it was me meeting him what made me realize, well, I have always wanted to be a writer, and this is my time. And my final message for him is that right now, at my age, I am where he was 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago, that he wanted his ideas to transcend. He wanted his characters to be alive. And this is my path now, and it's someone that initially, you know, took inspiration from him, and I hope that is of any, this is of any value to him, and I hope my book can be released before the year ends or starting next year. I'm having high hopes about it. Your life, once you become a writer, you know, is never the same again. You learn to live with this anxiety. You learn to live with this ongoing wanting to disconnect from the world and then merge into, you know, your own worlds. And I believe that for over a year, you know, I have been proving to Ed that I'm quite capable of divorcing RoboCop, but in a way that is creative. I will love RoboCop for the rest of my life, but this is my time to become a producer of my own ideas. And I did this, you know, it's a open love letter for him. For Nancy Allen, there's a lot of Liz Blake and Anne Lewis imprinted on my story. There are some hints of movies that have, you know, influenced me, and I merge all of that together. I put my heart on it, and the Black Butterfly will be released soon. And I'm hoping, you know, I don't have to talk to my robot kid at night and say, well, you know, once upon a time, we were in love with your dad. But and that's how you were born. But I want to tell the people that were my inspiration that I'm open for them to, well, take part of on this, because this is probably my breakthrough. And although I'm very nervous, I'm very excited about it. And just like my novel, life is made of second and third chances. And you were saying that to me the other day on Facebook, when I make it big, and I say to you, there is no age limit for us to make it big and break through as writers.
Yeah, well, I've been writing a long time. Sometimes it feels endless. I look at the stacks of books in front of me that have my name on it, and I wonder where all the words come from. But I'm a firm believer in this, Ava, is that sometimes when the magic works, the words don't come from you, but through you.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and that's so true.
Mm. Anyway, look, The Black Butterfly is Ava Rahano's book that will be hopefully on our horizon, along with her always infectious RoboCop fandom. I wish her all the very best. I hope that wherever RoboCop goes, cinematically, telephonically, streaming, whichever way it goes, that however it happens, that the people in control keep in mind that there are things that people love about this franchise, and that they should pay that as much fan service as they would for a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie or something like that. But Ava, look, all the very best with your book. I hope it gets out there. I hope that you get that satisfaction that all writers seek. For me, it's not done until the paperback is in my hand, and then my job is finished. So I hope that you get it out there, get it published, and find some creative freedom, but also some creative reprieve, it sounds like, from this massive battle you've been going through.
For over 3 years, you know. Are you there?
So yeah, so I hope that I hope it all goes well for you, and that
thank you.
You know.
Can I say a final note?
Sure.
People have asked me why the name The Black Butterfly. In Mexico, there is this kind of like a term that is very sweet for girls that, you know, work as, you know, call girls, hookers, or high-level escorts. And they say that they are nocturnal butterflies.
Right.
So they come at night, and they're not like the colored ones that fly in daylight. And, you know, they're the ones that are dark and are hidden with artificial lights. And when I was a kid, I came back from elementary school once, and I told my mom that a kid, probably from parents that had lots of religious paradigms, I don't know, said to me that black flowers, black butterflies, and, you know, snakes and whatever belong to the devil.
Right.
And then my mother had this very intelligent, emotional response for a girl that of my age, and she said to me, you know what, black flowers, black butterflies, snakes, spiders, all of those are creations of God.
Yeah.
Don't give anything to the devil. He doesn't deserve it. All those beautiful creatures, no matter the color, you know, they belong to God. So I think that's one of the messages of my story. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. It's still your soul belongs to God. So that's why the name of my story. So it's not the Barbados fantasy sexy tale that I made to this Ed. It's something much more deeper that means a lot to me. So that was like my final note. Thank you so much for talking to me again. It has been a pleasure, you know, catching up with you.
It has always been a pleasure. A pleasure to know you. You are, without a doubt, one of the most motivated and creative fans of my acquaintance, and I wish you all the very best with the Black Butterfly, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your eye out for it, Ava. So you reckon the end of this year, early next year, 2020, the year of the Black Butterfly.
Some illustrations, I have been uploading them to DeviantArt, and now they're floating around Pinterest, which is quite flattering. That happened to me with RoboCup Enhanced Reality, but I thought eventually it's RoboCup. I mean, people are going to find my artworks and start sharing them. But then I saw an artwork of Matt and Anna, and I had labeled it as Eva Rojano and Ed Neumeier as Matt Lamoureux and Anna Sirena. And I was like, oh my God, I saw that on Google search. And it really struck me deeply because I was like, those are my original characters. That's not RoboCop anymore. So I hope I can do that transition. And I'll keep you posted. I hope you can invite me again once the book is being published.
That would be splendid. Ava Rojano, ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one RoboCop fan, also a very talented artist. Now, we're going to see what a talented author she is. Ava, thank you for being